I encourage you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. That's on page 727 of the Chair Bible. If you'd like to follow along, I'll be using that this morning. 727 is where you will find Proverbs chapter 3. The first scripture we'll consider together this morning. We are thinking about Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart this year. And for the spring, we have turned our attention to verse 7, and specifically the end of verse 7, in which we read, fear the Lord and depart from evil, or turn from evil. We are reading the book of Ecclesiastes together. Our final class on that book will be this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And so this morning I would turn your attention to page 774, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. And so as we encourage one another to trust in the Lord with all of our heart, in the same section of Scripture in which we are called to give all of our heart to the Lord and to trust Him all with it, we're also called to fear Him, and we are called to turn away from evil. And so, in the context of trusting in the Lord with all of your heart, it is the will of God for you to fear Him and turn away from evil. And as we come to the conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes, there is a conclusion that we are called to hear. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so an expository sermon is when you take the words that are in a text and you seek to extract the meaning from them. And so let's do that for a moment. The language that the Spirit uses in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 for let us hear is language that means to hear intelligently, often with the implication of attention or obedience. The first use of the word is in Genesis 3:8. Adam and Eve heard the voice of Yahweh in the Garden of Eden. Interestingly enough, it's the word that Pharaoh uses in Exodus 5:2. It's most often translated obey. But it's the same word that's translated here in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Pharaoh's question is, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? It could have been translated, who is the Lord that I should hear His voice? And again, it's used in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, in which it's more often translated, hear, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Conclusion, the conclusion of the preacher's words. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is. It is a preacher preaching to an assembly. And so what we are called to hear is the conclusion, the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, the end of the preacher's words, chapter 1, verse 1. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, of everything, of the totality of what the preacher has been preaching in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let's hear the conclusion of it. The conclusion of these 12 chapters that constitute our book, the book of Ecclesiastes, the conclusion of the whole matter, the conclusion of what has been said. I want to tell you this morning that I am very happy to have the opportunity to share this lesson with you. This lesson is what your life is intended to be about. There are people all over the world who, in the present day, at this very moment, who are seeking the meaning of life. And I get to answer that for you, because God has spoken and He has revealed it to us. We can know it. and we can experience it. And we can share it with others to the glory of God and to the benefit of their lives, to the benefit of your life this morning. That's what the book of Ecclesiastes is about. It's about life under the sun. And so the preacher is saying to us from chapter 1:1 through chapter 12, verse 14, what is the point of life? What is the meaning of life? What is the purpose of life? And here is the conclusion of the whole matter. Here is the point of life. Here is the meaning of life. Here is the purpose of life. It's two things. Number one, fear God. And number two, keep His commandments. The word fear here, it means to be afraid. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Who is the Lord that I should hear His voice? Well, Moses said, sorry to hear you ask that because you're about to find out. And you're about to find out the hard way. And so the first thing that the Lord is going to do to reveal Himself to you in a way that ought to get your attention, He's going to take the precious water of the Nile River that you love so much and that you honor so much and that you worship, and He's going to turn it to blood. Fear. That's the primary definition of the word. To stand in awe. The primary definition of the word is fear. The secondary definition of the word is reverence. We'll have more to say about that in a few minutes. What is the point of life? It is to fear God and to keep His commandments. The word for God here is Elohim. It's the plural form of deity that communicates the Godhead, our God and Father, our God the Son, and our God the Holy Spirit. Fear Elohim, the true and living God, Yahweh, the great I Am. The word and is important. The Spirit used it. It's a conjunction. It's used to connect words of the same part of a sentence that are to be taken jointly, and that matters, and that'll matter as we hear the conclusion of this lesson this morning. The conclusion of the whole matter is not that we would just fear God. The fear that we are to have of God, per the conjunction and what comes after it, is not to be crippling. We're not to hide in the basement from Him. We are not to cower in fear of Him to the point that we are paralyzed. The fear of God is to be motivating. Fear God and keep His commandments. The word keep means in the sense of tending and taking care of watching over or giving attention to. It has been God's will from the beginning that His people would keep His commandments. And so Adam and Eve had one, and it was God's expectation that they would keep it, that they would take care of it, that they would watch over it, they would give attention to it. And when they fell short of keeping it, of being obedient to it, when they fell short of the glory of God, there were consequences to their disobedience. And so Moses would encourage the descendants of Adam and Eve, the descendants of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the book of Deuteronomy, to remember that God loves them and that He has given them multiple commandments, not just one, but multiple commandments for their good always. Because God is good. And everything that is of God is good. And these commandments are given to you for your good always. God's will is for you to know Him, to fear Him, and to keep His commandments. And that word His in front of commandments is important. A lot of commandments. When the book of Ecclesiastes was written, a lot of commandments in Egypt that didn't have anything to do with God. They didn't have anything to do with Yahweh. They didn't have anything to do with a great I Am. And so Pharaoh fancies himself, as we talked about in our dunk class this morning, as being God. He loved Himself. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And so Jesus would warn us in Matthew 15 and in Mark 7 that men have commandments. And the commandments of men are meaningless in contrast to His commandments, the commandments of God. And so the word commandment itself means an injunction, an authoritative prescription, an order, a command, a charge. Behind commandments is authority, and behind the commandments of the true and living God is all authority. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. All, any, every. All, any, every. Fearing God and keep His commandments, this is man's all. I want to tell you, we live in some strange days that we're going to talk about in detail next week. As we turn our attention to Isaiah, and we turn our attention to Isaiah 5, and we turn our attention to Ephesians 5, from the beginning, God wants us to know that He created all things, and that He created all things over a week, the creation week, and on the sixth day of creation, that He created mankind in His image. And the word man, in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, is a word that means mankind, that is inclusive of both males and females. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, let us, Elohim, Father, Son, and Spirit, let us make mankind in our image. Male and female created He them. Whether you are a man, whether you are a woman, it doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter where you live right now. It doesn't matter how old you are. The will of God for you is the same as it is for everyone else. To fear Him and keep His commandments. That word for is important. It's a primitive participle indicating causal, cause, causal relations of all kinds, whether antecedent or consequent. The word for communicates the why of it. Why does any of this matter? Who is the Lord that I should hear His voice? Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? Well, this Lord matters because He's the Creator and He's the Sustainer of all things. And this God matters and His commandments matter because everything that pertains to fearing Him and everything that pertains to His commandments matters to Him. To the point of, this is all going somewhere. There's nothing random about our experience. God created us. History is going somewhere. All of this isn't just happening. It's not all just evolving over time. This is going somewhere, and where it is going is a place where God is going to bring the whole of your life. He's going to bring all of it. He's going to bring every work of your life into judgment. The word work means an action, an activity. It has to do with a deed. It has to do with something that you do. It has to do with an act. For God will bring every work into judgment. The word judgment has to do with a verdict, whether the verdict is favorable or unfavorable. A verdict that is pronounced judicially, especially a sentence or formal decree. Judgment, as it's used in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 14, is the act of deciding a case. It refers to the acts of sitting as a judge, hearing a case, and rendering a proper verdict. God, Elohim, Father, Son, and Spirit, will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. Every secret thing. Things that are concealed or hidden. There are things about you that I do not know. There are things about you that I do not know. One of the amazing things about the days of our lives is that people participate in things that are evil, that are wicked, that are sinful, and they take pictures of it, or they take videos of it, and they post it on their social media accounts for everybody to see. I want to tell you, I know I'm getting old because my generation had better sense than that. It would have never occurred to me to do that. There are things that my dad never learned about me. God is not like my dad or yours. There is nothing that is hidden from the God who is omniscient and omnipresent, who alone is wise, who declares Himself and is declared by those who knew Him to be the righteous judge of all the earth. Whether, again, a conjunction indicating that a statement applies whichever of the alternatives mentioned is the case, and there are alternatives, and the alternatives are simply good or evil. And both of those terms go back to the beginning. Everything that is good is of God. And so at the conclusion of day one of the creation week, God saw that it was good, Genesis 1:4. It was pleasant. It was agreeable. By contrast, the word evil, it means bad. It means disagreeable. It means unpleasant. And the reality of your life and the reality of mine, and the reality of every person who has ever lived, created in the image of God, male and female, created He them. You and I, all of us, are capable of both. You are capable of good and you are capable of evil. You are capable of hiding some things from me and from your parents. But you need to remember this. God's going to bring every work into judgment, whether good or evil. I want to turn your attention now to Matthew chapter 10. Expository sermon complete. Matthew chapter 10. Specifically page 1122. I'm going to draw your attention in just a second to verse 28. There are two things I want to say to you about Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 this morning, and then we'll hear the conclusion. And the first thing I want to say to you about these two verses is that this is Jesus. And so in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus sends out the apostles on a mission, and He's telling them before He sends them out that it's going to be dangerous. And so what He says to them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and also in Luke 12, verse 5, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus taught us to fear God. In John chapter 14, Jesus would say to us in verse 15, page 1,242. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so when we think about fearing God, there are those within Christendom in 2022 that pour water on fearing God in light of Jesus. First thing I want to point out to you is that Jesus taught us to fear God in Matthew 10:28 and in other scriptures in the gospel accounts. But what I want us to see in what Jesus says in John 14, verse 15, is that Jesus is enlightening us concerning the fear of the Lord as it has been revealed to us in the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. And so in Proverbs 1, verse 7, and in Proverbs 9, verse 10, in Proverbs 1, verse 7, and in Proverbs 9, verse 10, we learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. The fear of the Lord is the solid foundation upon which we build a personal relationship with God. We are then to grow in His grace and knowledge, and the end of our faith is agape love. Love is the greatest of these. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Agape is the end. And so what we need to see when Jesus says to us in John 14 verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, He's not saying to us that it's one or the other. It's both. It is Jesus' will for you to fear God. It is Jesus' will for you that you love God. There are some commandments that I keep because I am afraid of the consequences of what might happen in my disobedience. There are other commandments that I keep that I just love Jesus. And I'm gonna love Him by doing what He said. John 14, verse 23, Jesus said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 18. Matthew 10, we have a limited commission. Matthew 28, the commission is not to go to the lost house, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The commission in Matthew 28 is to go into all the world. And so, here's what Jesus says in verse 18. All authority, which is what commandments are about, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. John 5. John chapter 5, page 1226. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. This is Jesus. John 5, let's begin in verse 24, page 1226. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can do nothing of myself. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own, but the will of the Father who sent me. What in the world is Jesus talking about in John 5, 24 through 30? He is talking about the point of your life and the purpose of your life. He's talking about your life under the sun and God's will for it. And you'll notice that he talks about doing good and there being consequences to that. He talks about doing evil. He talks about there being consequence to that. And he talks about judgment. And he talks about himself and his authority and the authority of God the Father. The good news is that we don't have to wonder what our lives ought to be about. God has spoken. And that is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? To fear God and keep His commandments. But that's not all. This is also the Holy Spirit. As we turn our attention to John chapter 15, on page 1243, we ought to believe whatever we believe about the Holy Spirit, because of what God the Father has told us about Him, and because of what Jesus has told us about Him, and because of what the Holy Spirit has revealed to us about Himself. Himself! So Jesus is preparing the apostles for his departure. And he says, listen, I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to send someone like myself to help you. There's going to be another member of the Godhead who comes to help them. And it's the Holy Spirit. And so here's what the Helper, verse 26, who Jesus is going to send from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he's going to testify of me. He's going to testify of me. What does Jesus say to us about the Holy Spirit? That Jesus says to us about the Holy Spirit, here's what He's going to do. He's going to testify about me. He's going to talk about me. He's going to talk about who I was before I became flesh and dwelt among you. He's going to talk about my work. And He's going to talk about where I am in the present tense. And He's going to talk about what I'm going to do when the conclusion of this whole matter is settled. And so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, He is going to help you to know me. And that's what He's saying in Matthew 28. Listen, I want you to teach them to observe all the commandments that I have. But remember what I said in John 13 through 17. I'm not going to leave you alone. You're going to have some help remembering all that. And the help that you're going to have is going to be divine. It's going to be in the person of the Holy Spirit. And so in John 16, verse 8, he assures them, listen, when the Spirit has come, when He has come, the Helper, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Sin, righteousness, judgment. What is sin? It's transgression of the commandment of God. Righteousness, what is that? It's what's reflected in the commandments of God. Judgment, what's that? That's when God settles accounts. Well, who told me all that? Well, the God of Ecclesiastes 12 told me that. Jesus told me that. The Holy Spirit reveals that. And so, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Let's just simplify this thing just as quickly as we can. 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Page 1392. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you as revealed by the Holy Spirit of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God. Honor the King. The need to know historical background of 1 Peter 2, verse 17 is this. There were two people who were proclaiming to be in positions of authority, who were vying for the hearts and the minds and the bodies of the people of God. One of them's name was Nero. And Nero was a bad guy. And he was doing bad things to the people of God when 1 Peter 2, verse 17 was written. It doesn't matter. Who the emperor is, or the president, or whoever the leader of whatever country that we live in, all that matters is that we know God and that we fear Him because He is sovereign over all. And there are those in our time who are wholly bent on doing evil. Fear God, says the Spirit. 1 John 5, verse 3. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit of Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, who proceeded from the one Lord, who proceeded from the one God and Father, who revealed the one faith and the one baptism and the one hope of our calling and the one body. He carried these apostles and prophets of God along and He revealed the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. He testified concerning Jesus, which is what the totality of 1 John is about. And on page 1401, page 1401, the Spirit of God through the Apostle John says to us, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. It's not one or the other. It is both. It is fear God and keep His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome. They are intended to lighten our load, not to exacerbate it, which is the point of the commandments being for our good. You are going to have a better life the more commandments of God you obey. The punishment for sin is sin. Sin doesn't work. It's like having an electric car and trying to get it to run on gasoline. It doesn't work. What works is fearing God and keeping His commandments. Acts 17. What a scene. Page 1276. The Apostle Paul. Athens. Standing in the midst of the Areopagus. Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. Let me tell you about the true and living God. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. He's made from one blood, verse 26, every nation, echoes of Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Here's His hope for everyone who has descended from Adam and Eve, that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for Him and find Him, though He's not far from each one of us. In Him we live and move and have our very being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. Some of their own poets get it right sometimes. Some of our own poets get it right sometimes too. But it's His commandments that we ought to keep, not theirs. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Why not? Because we are not. You're not that. I'm not that. Those created in the image of God who share in the divine nature, we are not gold, we are not silver, we are not stone. And so when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, He became like what we are. He didn't become an idol in a temple somewhere. He became one of us. So that when we look at Him, we might see God. And when we look at Him and we see how He lived, He feared God. And He kept every commandment. There weren't any secret things that He didn't want His dad to know about. He dotted all the I's. He crossed all the T's. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Abram, before he became Abraham, wasn't quite sure why God hadn't fulfilled those promises to him. And so in Genesis 15 chapter, God and Abram have a little talk. Yahweh and Abram have a little talk. And what Yahweh tells them there is, I'll tell you why I haven't given you the land already. Because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. But they filled it up. And His judgment came. Northern kingdom of Israel, they didn't have any good kings. They filled it up and the Assyrians came. Southern kingdom of Judah, they had a few good kings. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we read that after God had raised up prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, calling them to repent and to fear God and to keep His commandments, we read that finally God's observation of it was, there's not a remedy for this. And so judgment came. Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. Christ and Him crucified, the person and the work of Jesus is the foundation of our faith. The resurrection declares Him to be the Son of God. If He is the Son of God, then there is a God. And it is in this God that we live and move and have our very being. And it is this Jesus, as revealed by the Holy Spirit, is this Jesus of whom the Holy Spirit testified that your life is headed to, and mine and every other person's. And so let's hear the conclusion this morning. The conclusion of Ecclesiastes is we need to fear God and keep His commandments. This is the point and the purpose. This is the meaning of life under the sun. For everybody, male or female. This is mankind's all. And we need to know that this really matters and that God's not messing around. Because He's going to bring every work into judgment, whether every secret thing, whether good or evil. And so within Christendom today, what we have is people who are just, you know, oh, that's just old covenant. Well, not according to Jesus. And not according to the Holy Spirit. That's not old covenant. That's not things that we don't have to worry about anymore because Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus Himself is calling us to observe all the things that He has commanded. Jesus is calling us to be His disciple, to discipline ourselves, to think His thoughts, and to bring every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus as revealed by the Spirit that we would continue to fear God and that we would continue to keep His commandments in light of the coming judgment. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. Jude, the brother of the Lord, would talk about making a distinction. On some, save them by snatching them out of the fire. There are some people that when I share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them, I talk to them about the terror of the Lord, and that you don't fear God, and you are not keeping His commandments, and you are under the wrath of God. John 3:36. On others, I show compassion, which is the call of the Spirit through the brother of the Lord, who identifies himself as a slave of his brother, as a slave of Jesus, because he understood that Jesus was more than just his half-brother. He understood that there was more to Jesus than the two of them just sharing a mom. Present tense, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your sight. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so here is the good news this morning. You don't have to fall into His hands. You don't have to live your life crippled in fear of the Lord, who's going to bring all your works into judgment and every secret thing. You don't have to fear facing Him in the day of judgment, because He has provided a way for us to be forgiven of all of our sin. And so listen to what Jesus says in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to everybody, male, female, all of them, every nation, everybody. The will of God for everybody is the same. Doesn't matter whether we live in the United States of America or one of the islands or the Ukraine or Russia. The will of God for all of us is the same. Fear God and keep His commandments. Judgment is coming. So Jesus says, I want you to go into the whole world. I want you to tell everybody about the gospel. And then I want you to tell them this. He who believes and. There's that conjunction again, connecting two things. It's not one or the other. It's both. It wasn't one or the other in Ecclesiastes 12. And it's not one or the other in Mark 16, verse 16. It's a conjunction that the Holy Spirit used to reveal to us the words of Jesus. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. Luke chapter 24, verse 47 on page 1219. What a scene. Verse 45, Jesus opens their understanding that they might comprehend the Scriptures. And he said to them, thus it was written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. I read that verse and I think, well, he's talking to them about Isaiah 53. Because that's what Isaiah 53 is about. And so a week from today, Lord willing, we'll turn our attention to the Gospel of Isaiah. And over the course of May and June, we will read the Gospel of Isaiah, written some 700 years before the birth of Jesus. And Isaiah is going to communicate to us who this Jesus is, why this Jesus is coming, and how we ought to respond to it. So Jesus says, listen, these are the Scriptures that testify of me, and I want you to understand them. I want you to comprehend them. When you go back and read, what you're going to see is that it was necessary for me to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance, people continue to sin. What is repentance? It's turning from sin. It's turning from the evil to the good. It's turning from idols, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, to serve the true and living God. So Jesus says, here's what we're going to do. We're going to preach repentance and we're going to preach remission of sins. Remission of sins, forgiveness. What is the point of all that? The point of all that is you have an account. And on your account, on your ledger, there are two columns. There's a good column and there's an evil column. And every time you do something, something goes down on that ledger. Whether it's good or whether it's evil. And at the end of the day, there's going to be a reckoning. And that's what it is. It's a reckoning. The day of judgment is a reckoning. One of my favorite Western movies talks about how judgment is coming and what they're bringing with it when they come. That's precisely what these words mean in this text. Judgment is coming and God is bringing His wrath down on those who do not know Him and on those who have not obeyed His gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And so Jesus says, listen, here's the good news. If you repent, then you're going to receive the remission of sins. I'm going to wipe the slate clean. And I'm going to use my precious blood to take your account and to blot out all of your transgressions. All of those evil things that you have done that have separated you from our God and Father. That have kept you from all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in me. All of those sins that are keeping you from experiencing the help of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to take my blood and I am going to blot all of that out. So that when you stand before me, you will not stand before me as your judge. You will stand before me as your Savior. So what's the rest of the story? Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts 2. Jesus is preparing to ascend to heaven. He talks to the apostles about the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out. They preach Christ and Him crucified. Verse 37, page 1254. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They believed the gospel that was preached to them. They believed that they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. They believed that they were guilty of sin. They believed that they were wrong about Jesus, that they needed to repent of what they thought about Him. They agreed that they were wrong, that they had sinned against Him in unimaginable ways, blaspheming Him at every turn, only to see their God raise Him up. Only to see that they had misread their own Scriptures. Only to see that they didn't learn the lesson of Joel 2 and Daniel 2 and Isaiah 2. And so where do they find themselves in Acts 2? And what do they say? They say what the people of Joel's day and Isaiah's day should have been saying. They say, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what they hear Peter say to them in verse 38 is what we hear Jesus say in Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Luke 24. The call is not to fear God and innovate. The call is not to fear God and add some commandments of your own. The call is not to fear God and respond to Jesus however you feel like it. We live in a time in which there just isn't time for silliness and foolishness and carrying on. It is time to be sober. It's time to fear God and to keep His commandments. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That's the point of it. That's what the word means. When do remission of sins come into a person's account? When are their sins blotted away by the blood of Jesus? Before or after? That's the point of the word for. The remission of sins comes after belief and baptism. Belief in whom? Baptism in whom? All of that matters. And notice that there's no reception of the gift of the Holy Spirit until after faith and obedience to the commands that pertain to the gospel. We believe the facts of the gospel. We obey the commands of the gospel. And then and only then do we receive the promises of the gospel. And so what's the rest of the story? With many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." What you do matters, and you have a role to play in your salvation. What is he saying to them in verse 40? He is saying to them, you need to be saved from this generation. And there are those in Christendom from the beginning who have said, there is nothing for you to do. It's solely the work of God. False. That's a deceiving spirit. That's not the Spirit of God. The call of the Spirit of God is to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have a role to play in your justification. And you have a role to play in your ongoing process of sanctification. Glorification is the act of God. It is the fulfillment of your salvation. It is the fulfillment of God's will for your life. For those, verse 41, who gladly receive His Word. I share the gospel with people today, and I read all these scriptures to them, and they look at me, and they say, well, you know, I just, that didn't feel right to me. Well, I'm going to put that in the evil category. Because God's commandments are for our good. Always. And when God tells us, hey, if you believe this, then I'm going to bless you. I mean, that's the point of the Old Testament. What did people fail to do over and over again from Genesis to Malachi? They failed to believe. And they failed to obey. They failed to fear. And they failed to obey. And what happened? Adam and Eve, east of Eden. Northern kingdom of Israel, Assyrian captivity. Southern kingdom of Judah, Babylonian captivity. And you think somehow that we're going to escape the judgment of God in our time? That's not what Peter thought. And that's not what the Holy Spirit directed him to say in 1 Peter 4. He said, here's what you need to know, church. You need to know that judgment is going to begin at the house of God. And if we barely escape, then what of those who have not obeyed? The work of God to save us from ourselves, to save us from our sins, came at great cost to Him. Do you see that this morning? And so if Jesus says jump, then I'll tell you what our attitude ought to be. It ought to be how high? Which is precisely the tender heart that Josiah had. He just heard God's will and it crushed him because he wasn't in it. And he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to repent and I'm going to encourage everybody to repent. And what we're going to do is we're going to follow the Word of God because we believe, we trust in the Lord. We believe that He revealed it to us and that if we follow it, that we too can be saved. We can be rescued. We can be delivered. We can be protected. That's the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And that's what salvation by grace through faith looks like right there. Amen. There are people all over the world who talk about being led by the Spirit. I want to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He leads. And His will for us is that we would keep in step with Him. And the way that we keep in step with Him is by listening to what He said. and He has spoken expressly, and He has revealed the will of God for our lives in such a way that when we read it, we can understand it. The question is, do you fear Him? Do you love Him? Oh, how I love Jesus, but, you know, not keeping any of His commandments. Well, you know, that's very confusing.
Right?
You know, you drive 100 miles an hour in a 25-mile-per-hour speed limit, and, you know, it's hard to make a case that you love America. You love the country. You love the Commonwealth of Virginia. Or the District of Columbia. When you're running through the streets, just breaking all the laws, putting yourself in danger, putting other people in danger. What's the point of the speed limits? To protect us from what? From harm. Turn away from evil. It comes in all forms, beloved. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. Let's encourage each other to fear God and keep His commandments. I've talked almost as long as Danny Davis this morning. I'm telling you what. I wrote 5 lessons on Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14 this week, and I think I preached 2 of them. So I will stop now. If you're not a Christian, don't take my word for it. Just look at the Scriptures. Look at what Jesus said. And just obey Him. That's all we're seeking to do here. We're not trying to be something other than this man's disciple. Just trying to follow Him. And we believe in full assurance of faith that He is the way and that He's called us to be a part of it, to be a part of Him. And that's what the church is. He's the body, or He's the head, and we're the body. And we're just individually members of Him. And so we take our direction from Him. He's the head. We listen to His voice and His voice alone, and we seek to do what He has called us to do, and we use our individual talents and gifts to His glory. And we don't have to wonder what that looks like because He's told us. If we can help you to obey His gospel, you don't have to do that right now. You can do that when the service is over. You can do that this afternoon. You can do that when you get there. And that's what makes it count. When you get there, when you believe, and you're ready like Josiah with a tender heart to submit to God's will for your life, when you're ready, we'll be ready to help you. If you are a Christian and you've lost sight of truth, you've lost sight of the Spirit of truth because of the deceiving spirits that are all around us working 24/7 to move us away from the voice of the one Spirit. Repent. Repent of that. Turn away from that. And turn to God. While we stand and while we sing, we encourage you to come to Him.